breakdown of some people involved with Air Florida and the Western Airlines, the MGM can of worms. We're going to go that in 1 minute. I do want to mention that the articles this week from the newspaper link Lech Walesa with the squads in Poland that want World War III. He wanted to put up gallows there 10 days before the martial law was called. They had plans for murders, and that the Solidarity is not a labor union. Then the articles in the New York Times, Washington Post, and Wire Services that Mr. Walesa has been using a book, and I have that book. It's called The Third World War, August 1985. And there are many references in that book to Poland. It's written by NATO commanders, General Sir John Hackett, published by Macmillan in London and Berkeley Press. It is the script for instigating Russia to get into a war, forcing them to respond in Poland so we get World War III. And there have been allegations in the newspapers this past week of Lech Walesa and the construction of gallows and the plan for a bloodbath in Poland. That is what he's up to. I'll do more on Poland in a few weeks, but I just want to mention that this was in the news this week, and that book has been the script for Walesa's instigations in Poland. They have nothing to do with labor unions. They have to do with World War III. We'll take a one-minute break now and get on to this other subject I want to continue on.
This concludes the first half of World Watchers International with Mae Brussel. We will return.
Okay, this is Mae Brussel. If we're having trouble with the tape cassette or with the control rooms, Matthew isn't here tonight, and we're having a, if the tape ran over on the first half or it begins in the second half, we're going to have trouble here with this. There's somebody new in the control room or helping out. So bear with us. The radio, the live radio, it won't make any difference, but if you get the cassettes, you may find one end cut off or the other not starting right. We'll have to get this coordinated. I'm looking at the clock and doing the best I can, but there's some problems here. Okay, I want to talk some more about Western Airlines and Air Florida and the crazy arrangement of the structure of these various airlines and the mechanics. Something is going on in these airlines. I don't know what it is, but by the articles I shared with you the first half, there's some very weird things taking place. And just 2 days before Air Florida crashed, they'd never had a crash. They'd been operating 10 years, and 2 days before they crashed, I mentioned that Neil Berg, who came into Western Airlines in October of 1981, had appointed into Western Airlines several new directors on the board of Western Airlines. And Western was being bid for. Air Florida wanted to take control of Western Airlines, and the people who had it, Kirk Kerkorian and the people who were holding Western, were losing a lot of money, but they didn't want to let Western out of their hands. And Neil Berg, from Alaska, who travels around and picks up a huge amount of money, $50 million, to put into Ween, Alaska, and then parlay that into Western. Neil Berg went to Western Airlines in October of 1980 and said, I want to manage Western Airlines and take care of it. And by in June, Air Florida wanted control, and Neil Berg came in and said, I'll work for no salary and I'll take care of it. And Neil Berg, acting with no salary, appointed on the board of Western Airlines. He increased the board to 15 members. There were 12 before. And I mentioned several weeks ago and last week that one of the people he put on the board was Fred Benninger. Now, Fred Benninger is 65 years old. He manages the MGM Grand Hotel in Las Vegas. And I'm going to run down with you as quickly as I can a background on Fred Benninger and Kirk Kerkorian, who was the head of Western Airlines, who built it up, because in this can of worms of people competing for particular airlines or stepping in and controlling them with unknown funds of money coming from overseas, from German banks and British banks and goodness knows where, overseas money's $50 million here, $50 million there. It's interesting to know who you're dealing with and where they came from. And once in a while, I do biographies of certain people, and I thought I would do the Kirk Kerkorian story tonight for several reasons. And one of the reasons is that it goes back to the Permandex story, the assassination cabal that was put together on who killed John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, the assassination teams, and the role that these interlocking people have with each other, and they're the heads of huge corporations, motion picture studios, airlines, hotels, entertainment industry. Their attorneys, such as for Kirk Corcoran, and his Caesar's World is William Casey, the director of the CIA. They are closely aligned and linked to the intelligence community with unknown funds, and what we think of as ordinary businesses have these mysterious fundings behind them and international and national connections. And the ones that I refer usually go back to people who are directly or indirectly linked to those assassination teams that I've studied for 17 years. Now, Kirk Kerkorian in 1942 was a flyer. He was an instructor of the United States. And when war broke out, he joined the British RAF, which is interesting. If he lived in the United States, he came from a family up in Kern County. That's Earl Warren country. His father had a farm, and the farm gushed oil. And instead of fighting for the United States Army, we were at war, he went and joined the RAF until June 44. Then he began working for a transport command, and that took him to India and Africa. And he bought the Los Angeles Air Service in 1947. That's when World War II was over, the year that the CIA was formed. And he operated a charter service all over the West, and from Las Vegas down to Del Mar and so forth. The Los Angeles Air Service in 1956 began contracts for military people from Charleston, South Carolina, to Tripoli, Libya. And interesting, it was Neil Burke who sent the C-130 over by way of Miami to Libya, to Gaddafi, at a time that they weren't supposed to be sending him planes, and Edwin Wilson of the CIA was sending these pilots to run these planes. Kerkorian was flying from Charleston, South Carolina, to Tripoli in Libya in 1956. In 1967, the Los Angeles Air Service became the TIA, the Trans-International Air Service, in 1960. It changed names, and Kerkorian was dealing with Douglas Aircraft in 1962 and began what he called the jet trader. He amassed as much as he could in his new airline, his Trans-International Airline, according to a book on Kerkorian, and the Bank of America agreed to finance most of the rest. And you see, Kerkorian's lucky. He always comes up with a lot of money, and Mr. Giannini and Bank of America helped him with the rest. He began his military routes starting in June 22, 1962. That's after Kennedy was in, and just not long, a year and a half before Kennedy was killed. And he was flying from Travis Air Force Base to Guam, and he had contracts of $1.6 million in commercial and $4 million in military contracts. The 6 years from 62 to 66 in this biography are kind of missing. But in the interim, in 1966, Howard Hughes, the mysterious billionaire, working with the intelligence community and the military and the Lockheed organizations and used aircraft, moved into Las Vegas to the Desert Inn Hotel on a stretcher. A mysterious person in the dark of night who nobody really saw in Vegas moves in and brings $200 million into Nevada, where Kirk Kerkorian also is going to be very active. In 1968, Howard Hughes is there with Robert Mayhew and his assassination teams from 1966 to 1970, when he mysteriously flies out. So 2 years after Hughes is there, in 1968, Kerkorian comes in and purchases the Flamingo Hotel. It's owned by him. He's considered one of the richest men in the United States, and he's competing. He and Hughes are in this town, and they are establishing the Vegas bases, or the Hughes organization. There is no Hughes that's visible. Now, he takes over the Flamingo Hotel in 1968. Kerkorian does. That belong to Bugsy Siegel, a controversial person who was gunned down in 1947 at the home of Virginia Hill. Siegel was murdered about two blocks from my parents' house and two blocks from where Howard Hughes had his plane crash on Linden Drive. It's right off of Walden. And he took over this hotel linked with organized crime with Meyer Lansky and Bugsy Siegel. Las Vegas had been building up the various hotels from 1950. They began to grow. It was a watering stop for railroads in 1905, and the syndicate came in. In 1954, Ronald Reagan was playing at the Frontier Hotel in Vegas, interestingly enough, on his stint before he goes to General Electric, and they've designed him to be tarted around for the future president of the United States. In 1950, Albert Parvin was supplying hotels and restaurants with equipment, and he was linked to organized crime, and he got control of the Flamingo Hotel. And by 1960, he sold it to Sam Cohn, Meyer Lansky's partner. And organized crime, the point I'm trying to make, was very heavy in there. One, they turned their profits into a foundation called International Understanding, and the president of the foundation was Supreme Court Justice William Douglas. He got $12,000 a year from the foundation since 1962. Meyer Lansky got a fraction of selling the Flamingo Hotel, and Kerkorian was established in Vegas in that area. The Flamingo, for one while, belonged to Morris Landsberg, Daniel Lifter, and various members of the Meyer Lansky gang. And later, Kerkorian is to be linked heavily and in scandals with the organized crime and the mafia. In this area, by 1966, Kerkorian has the Caesar's Palace. That's the across from the Flamingo Hotel. It was built and owned by Kirk Kerkorian, described as the most elaborate hotel of all. In 1966, when Caesar's Palace opens, and incidentally, Caesar's Palace and Caesar's World are both the same. I called their offices in Century City this week to check out what the difference was between them. Clifford Perlman, the head of Caesar's World, was kicked off the board in New Jersey, Atlantic City, because of his links to organized crime. The attorney for Caesar's World and Caesar's Palace, as I say, is William Casey of our Central Intelligence Agency. In 1966, when Kerkorian is working with Caesar's Palace, Robert Mayhew from the FBI and the CIA counterintelligence moves into Vegas to make the purchases for Howard Hughes of the various hotels that Hughes is going to swallow up in the Vegas area. Kerkorian buys a parcel for his operations, and the Hughes people come in and buy up the Frontier Hotel, the Castaways, the Sands, the Silver Dollar, the Landmark, the Harold's Club in Reno, the 518-acre Krupp Ranch that belonged to the ammunition people in Germany, Paradise Valley Country Club, local TV stations. So between the Summa Corporation, which is the Hughes organization, and Howard is never seen, and between Kirk Kerkorian, they really have the state pretty well locked up. Robert Mayhew moves in, as I say, experienced with his CIA and counterintelligence, and he was the cover for the assassination teams of John Kennedy. Well, John Kennedy was killed in 1963, but Robert Kennedy and Martin Luther King and Malcolm X are to come later, and other people in the way of the government that they wanted removed. And it was Mayhew that met with Sam Giancana and John Rosselli and organized crime figures to head up assassination teams. And he shared also his establishment with Mo Dalitz, who, since the Kennedy assassination, was moved down to La Costa. So Mayhew is working for the Summa Corporation. Justice Douglas in 1966 marries Kathleen Heffernan, H-E-F-F-E-R-N-A-N, after a two-day engagement. And the town is pretty busy. Now, Mayhew worked in Chicago before he came here with Guy Bannister, who later goes down to Florida, head the Double Check organization in New Orleans, worked with Lee Harvey Oswald in counterintelligence, and that again goes back to Pan Am and Air America and the CIA airlines that were covering these operations down in Florida with the Bay of Pigs and the anti-Castro Cubans. In 1968, the Hughes people, the Summa Corporation, tried to keep Kerkorian from finishing a piece of property that he had out there called the International Hotel, but they weren't very successful. Hughes had accumulated a lot of money. He had at one time 80% of TWA stock. Now, the Hughes organization buys up part of the town, and Kerkorian has another part of the town, and they are operating very successfully. The governor of the Nevada at the time is now Senator Paul Laxalt, who managed the campaign for Ronald Reagan for his election, and the attorney for these people, as I say, is the Attorney General of the United States. Howard Hughes and Mayhew had an option to buy the Stardust Hotel. At the one time, it was owned by Jake the Barber from Chicago, another organized crime figure, and then the Desert Inn Associates before Howard Hughes moved to Vegas were run by Mo Dalitz. The Hughes people come in and buy up the Desert Inn for Mo Dalitz, the Mayfield Road Gang from Cleveland, Ohio, organized crime, and Mo Dalitz leaves and works as a consultant to Summa Corporation, Howard Hughes, and builds up La Costa down near San Diego. In 1962, Kerkorian, who had built, in 66, he built Caesar's Palace, but in 62, He sold his airline, Transcontinental Airline, to Studebaker Company and invested $25 million in land to open the Caesar Palace. It took him 4 years. He sold his airline and parlayed it to Caesar's Palace. And the funding, again, comes from Transamerica, the Bank of America, the Bank of Italy originally. He also formed another company called Tracy Investment Company, and he set up a subsidiary in the Flamingo Resort, a hotel owned formerly by Meyer Lansky, Bugsy Siegel, Mr. Gus Baum, who was blown up in Phoenix, Arizona, and he bought the Flamingo Hotel, the outfit from the Parvin Dorman Group in 1967 for $12 million. So Kerkorian was active in Vegas before he got into MGM Hotel and the MGM Studios. He sold his airlines, as I say, to Studebaker, put up Caesar's Palace, and had a lot of money floating in all kinds of operations. Another subsidiary, the International Hotel of Las Vegas, starting in 1967. He put up Caesar's Palace in 66. Then he wanted to build the International Hotel, which to what became the MGM Grand Hotel. And he brought in to Las Vegas in 1967 Fred Benninger. Now, that's a long introduction to Fred Benninger. He's the one put by Neil Burke on the board of MGM. Fred Benninger, for 21 years, worked for Flying Tiger Airlines. Flying Tiger was one of the first subsidiaries of the CIA. It was known for narcotics traffic through the Vietnam War, for heroin and so forth out of Southeast Asia, run by Madame Chenault and Claire Chenault. There are many books and documents on the Flying Tigers. So the expert that Kerkorian brings into the Vegas area is 21 years with the Flying Tigers, which means that he had to be with it a long time, since 1946 when it first started. He was of Germanic origin, another German name referred with a hard G, Benninger. He became one of Kerkorian's chief lieutenants. So the person assisting Kerkorian here in Vegas to build a $60 million hotel was Benninger of the Flying Tigers. This is through the whole Vietnam War, the narcotics wars. In 1967, the year that Benninger went into Vegas for the MGM Hotel working with Kerkorian, was the year that Michael Hand arrived in Australia. I keep referring to the Nugent-Hand Bank that became the pivotal place for narcotics traffic, for assassination teams, for overthrowing governments, the combination of the CIA, heroin, and the killer teams. For in 1967, Michael Hand, with no experience, who worked with the special forces in Vietnam, he opened his bank, he went into Australia in 1976, and he then eventually opened up with the CIA, with Air America, with the Flying Tiger, the Dope, the Counterintelligence, Navy Intelligence, Edwin Wilson, and Theodore Shackley. Michael Hand was to work with these people. He opens up in 1967, leaves Vietnam, to set up headquarters in Australia. And Benninger of the Flying Tigers arrives in Las Vegas. Fred Benninger went to work for Kerkorian. He's the one who suggested, let's buy up the Flamingo Hotel. That was the old mob group. Until we get our big hotel going, it was supposed to be the International, became the MGM Grand. Kerkorian kept the Flamingo Hotel. He held on to it. And he called his new company then the International Leisure. And they had subsidiaries. And then he flew to New York and picked up $60 million. This is for his operations, Kerkorian. Now, Western Airlines had a route that Kerkorian wanted to improve from Hawaii, Alaska, Mexico, St. Paul. They have mail, and since 1969, Kerkorian had watched over Western Airlines. It was worth $73 million, and he went to Mr. Clausen, the vice chairman of Bank of America, who now heads the World Bank. He was interested in buying Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Studios, the MGM, and he went to Europe, as I mentioned last week, for money to buy that studio. Questionable whether it came from Bernie Kornfield or Vesco or Onassis or Swiss banks from skimming from the Vegas money. And lo and behold, he comes up with his $50 million to put in to MGM. Now, the New York Post in 1979 had headlines, Link of Kerkorian with the Mafia. And it seemed that Frank Hogan, who was a district attorney for Tom Dewey in the days when they were investigating the Vito Genovese family, picked up tape recordings of Mr. Kerkorian talking to members of organized crime and specifically Vito Genovese. Now, Tom Dewey was running for president. Earl Warren was to be his vice president. In 1961, when the recordings were made, Robert Kennedy was the attorney general going after organized crime. Vito Genovese worked with Jack Ruby and Carlos Marcello and David Ferry of the CIA and the assassination teams described in the Torbid document and in other researches, and even the Senate House investigation of the assassination of John Kennedy, the links of organized crime. But the Warren Commission, in the volumes on Jack Ruby, describes the meeting of Vito Genovese, the military, with Jack Ruby. There's testimony of a witness to that. Well, Frank Hogan in 61, Frank Hogan, H-O-G-A-N, was tapping the Cosa Nostra family and picking up conversations of Vito Genovese with Charles the Blade Turin and with Kirk Kerkorian. And it goes back to George Raft and people involved in the Transcontinental Airlines that he had, the military routes. Kerkorian in 61 was running his international airlines, as I say, $1 million with commercial, $4 million with military. He had direct contacts with Vito Genovese in 1961 when Robert Kennedy was investigating and tapping organized crime. And Kerkorian later is working in Vegas with Robert Mayhew at the Flamingo Hotel and with Mo Dalitz and with the assassination teams that would go on and take Robert Kennedy and Martin Luther King and Malcolm X and the organized crime connections and the military connections. So in 1961, when he was flying transcontinental lines, he was in contact with the Genovese family, who was also in touch with Jack Ruby and the military, and these telephone conversations were taped. Kerkorian was taped by Frank Hogan, the DA of New York City at the time. There were 12 telephone conversations with Charlie the Blade Turin. Now, Turin was part of the Genovese family. As I say, the Genovese worked directly with Jack Ruby, who killed Lee Harvey Oswald, so that the links of the Kennedy assassination both to the organized crime or the CIA or to the Nazi connections would be wiped out. In 67, Kerkorian was to buy the Flamingo Hotel from Bugsy Siegel. Meyer Lansky, he owns the Caesar's Palace. Robert Kennedy, the attorney general, is tapping these people. The mob was mad at John Kennedy. They were mad at Robert Kennedy. So you have persons here involved in trans-international airlines, working for the military, military bases, working with narcotics traffic. And in 1963, Kennedy was killed by mob and military. In 1968, Robert Kennedy was killed by mob and military and people trying to fight the investigation of the exposure of the drug connections. Kerkorian wasn't in Vegas in 1961, but he was wiretapped with connections to Charles Turin, who was directly linked to Meyer Lansky. Robert Kennedy was going into Jimmy Hoffa and Meyer Lansky at the time. Kerkorian threw off these tape conversations. He was casual about them. This scandal broke at a time where he's very big in Las Vegas in 1979 and big in MGM. Now, the book on Kerkorian asks, where did he get $72 million in foreign bank loans? This is on page 234. Where does he get his money? And it goes into those rumors of various possibilities and banks. Who is Charles Turin, who Kerkorian was talking to in 1961 on the wiretaps? Turin is described in books on Meyer Lansky's life as being part of the Lansky operation with underworld connections in Havana, in Cuba, before Fidel Castro came in. That's why the anti-Castro Cubans with the CIA, people like Frank Sturgis, who ran the gaming tables over in Cuba, are so willing to work with the anti-Castro Cubans, work with the intelligence community, and their gambling operations were thrown out there. Kerkorian was working or talking with Turin and Meyer Lansky in 61, and this group of people stayed close together. Edwin Wilson, who headed Task Force 157 with their operations in Australia under the guise of the Navy, was paymaster for the Bay of Pigs. E. Howard Hunt was a paymaster for the Bay of Pigs. Theodore Shackley, who came from Germany, who works with Wilson and Turpel, and these people worked, all of them, with Air America, the Flying Tigers, the mob, drug connections, and Benninger, as I say, worked for the Flying Tigers for 21 years before he came to Vegas. Charles Tureen is described in Hank Messick's book on Meyer Lansky of the involvement of the operations of casinos in Havana in the 50s. The new Capri casino run by the mafia, headed by the Blade, Charles Tureen, and Meyer Lansky's connections, and George Raft and Bugsy Siegel and the syndicate. Now, when the scandal came out about Kerkorian's being wiretapped on telephone conversations with these people, Paul Laxalt came to bat in 1971 for Kerkorian. Paul Laxalt, as I say, was the man who managed the campaign and raising the funds for Ronald Reagan to be president of the United States. He was the governor of Nevada when Kerkorian and the Super Summa Corporation flowed into there and poured hundreds of millions of dollars into the operations in Las Vegas and Nevada. By 1971, Kerkorian was heading MGM Studios with Fred Benninger by his side, planning to build that new hotel in Vegas. Fred Benninger went on to be the head of the MGM Hotel in Las Vegas. And as I say, two, 3 days before Air Florida went down, and Air Florida was trying to make a purchase of Western Airlines, he was put on the board of Western Airlines. MGM wanted to diversify, and they have their finger in the Western Airlines, the hotels, and various operations and stocks in Vegas. Now, the story of free enterprise and people gaining capital and buying particular businesses is a total fraud or front. The more I study it, the more hidden money, hidden bank accounts comes in, that people come with huge amount of money and pluck up these operations and compete with each other. Now, if a small airline like Air Florida has never had a crash in 10 years and it has put in a bid in June and showed an interest in accumulating the losing Western Airlines, if it's competing against a force as big as this, with tentacles in every pie, from the Justice Department to the Attorney General to the Director of the CIA to all the highest elements of Washington, D.C., what chance do these little airlines have? Melvin Belli stepped in right away. He's always worked with the CIA, with this whole group, to make as mean lawsuits as he can against Air Florida to break their back. What chance do these little companies have? This is a shocking story to me of the interconnections of the various studios, and then there's overlapping of people from the MGM to the 20th Century Fox Studios and Columbia Pictures of the same characters. One of the owners of this Bonanza Hotel, there were 16 acres that Kerkorian wanted enlarged in 1971, and he wanted to get a place called the Bonanza Hotel, owned by Realty Holding Company, and one of the owners associated with that is Mo Dalitz, who had property, as I say, in Vegas, who's been named in the Torbett document of links to the various people responsible for killing John Kennedy and closely linked with Robert Mayhew and the other corporations. So one of the owners now with Kerkorian is Mo Dalitz, under another hotel, the Bonanza Hotel. The price on this one was $13.2 million. In 1967, when Mayhew first came in for a piece of property in Vegas that's gone up much more now. It involves Robert Mayhew and Mo Dalitz and so forth. As I say, Mayhew of the CIA and FBI has been working with Mo Dalitz continuously as a consultant. They work together in the Vegas area. And the interlocking, as I say, the interlocking groups of the huge organized crime syndicate to the banks in Australia, to Vietnam, to Southeast Asia. One of the reasons that these people keep promoting war and weapons and wars overseas, whether it's Korea or Vietnam or Cuba or get into Central America, has as much to do with drug traffic and drug profits as it does in selling weapons. This is a subject that has never, hardly ever, ever brought up, is that the thing that goads these people on is the mafia that controls them and wants this territory or their turf, just as they want to get back to Cuba and avenge Castro for taking over the hotels there. Well, I better stop now so we don't have trouble with that tape cassette. We're timing it, and I think we had a little trouble with the 30 minutes on that cassette. So I'm going to stop now to make sure we get it all on the tape, and I'll be back with you next week. This is Mae Bressel in Carmel, California.
This has been World Watchers International with noted conspiracy investigator Mae Bressel. This program originates from Carmel, California.
I said it's better than pleasure. Funky butt, funky butt.
All right, all right, all right.
Now, do you want to get it on?
Good Lord, what's that?
It's KLRB, Carmel, Monterey.
I'm going to think about it.